Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 404. I'm Dave Elliott, and my pet monkey loves to cuddle up with me on the sofa and watch old episodes of Hee Haw on DVD. You wish your life was as good as mine. Today, Fantastic Four, 404, from September 1995, with Friends Like These, by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. The issue begins with the Submariner ripping the elevator door off the Fantastic Four headquarters while Roberta the robot receptionist looks on with disapproval. He flies up the shaft to the top floors where Ant-Man, his daughter Cassie, and Boris, or the person posing as Boris, think they're under attack. Scott, proving that he's a far better parent than Reed or Sue, immediately realizes how stupid it was to bring his daughter to FF headquarters. The door rips open, and in comes Namor, demanding to see Susan. He says to Scott Lang, "Don't even think about trying to keep us apart. I've seen the way you look at her, but she is not for the likes of you." Yes, a superhero slash scientist who has the power to change the shape of his body. Yeah, Scott is not Sue's type at all. And at this point, Namor is sporting a Major League mullet. And if a love triangle did develop between Sue and the two men, I'd have to give the advantage to Ant-Man, believe it or not. Scott tells Namor that Sue and the others went on a little road trip to the jungles of Brazil, where at that moment, Ben Grimm, still with a scarred-up face, is being attacked by Sue and Kristoff and Lyja the Skrull, who have all been turned into orange rock monsters. I'm sure Ben has dreamed many times of having his teammates all be the same. Rock monsters, just like him. And they are, with equally nasty dispositions. So now, Ben has to fight them all off. It's friend against friend in a battle to the death. All while Rudolfo Mico watches with glee. He's got a few other rock monsters who want to join in, but he tells them to stay put. He thinks it's more fun and entertaining to see the Thing battle and fight and struggle against his teammates. Also nearby is Professor Robeson. He's watching, and he's not entertained. Welcome to the club, Professor. He regrets hiring Rudolfo to be his guide on this archaeological mission in the first place, in the rainforest. Even though his arms are tied to a wooden stick behind his back, his legs are free, and he slips off and he runs away. Ben, meanwhile, is starting to tear off chunks of the temple to use them as weapons against his mind-controlled teammates. He knocks everyone down, he tries to run off into the jungle, and the three teammates chase after him. Back in New York, Scott is leading Namor to the lab, where he's got Dr. Doom's time platform. He's rigged it so that a person can teleport from the time platform to a receptor inside the Stealth Hawk. Namor says he has a big announcement, and Scott asks what it is. Namor reveals that he's decided to take his place as a member of the Fantastic Four. No! Don't do that, Namor! You don't want your movie rights to be owned by Fox! Well, anyway, he teleports away, and Boris is thinking to himself, "My current associate never informed me of this particular development when he sent me here. I can only assume it will surprise even him." Still, Boris's associate is a mystery. Back in the jungle, Ben is trying to hide from his teammates. Lyja flies by while Ben hides behind a tree, but Kristoff finds him and he aims a gun at him. But Ben pounds on the ground, creates a shockwave that knocks Kristoff down. Ben turns and runs, right smack dab into an invisible wall. Sue shows up, she struggles with Ben for a moment, and she knocks him back with a force field. And then, the Submariner arrives, and now, he's in a bit of a dilemma. Whose side is he going to be on? Okay, at this point, Sue kind of looks like shit. So screw her! They start fighting, trading punches. Ben sees the professor nearby, he freezes tied up hands, and the professor fills him in on what he knows. It was an alien machine they found inside the temple that turns people into rock monsters using a metamorphic ray. He believes the effects are only temporary, so this gives Ben an idea. Back at FF headquarters, Boris is sneaking around, being up to no good. He finds a private place in the corner of a hallway. Why not just use a bathroom where he can close the door and no one's gonna see him? The hallway is really not the most private place in the world. He calls up his boss. We see part of his torso and his hand, and it's clearly not Dr. Doom. I don't know who it is yet. I can't remember. So Boris tells his boss about the Submariner showing up, and just then, guess what? Cassie walks by and hears everything that Boris was saying, and she runs off to tell her dad. See? Why didn't he just go to a bathroom? Why use the hallway? Lock the door. What an idiot. Back in Brazil, Sue is really kicking Namor's ass, and she seems to be enjoying it. And she starts going on about how Namor was trying to take advantage of her after her husband died, and Namor says that isn't true. Meanwhile, the professor and Ben have headed back inside the Temple of Rock Monsters, which is freaking Ben out. A whole temple devoted to orange rock monsters. And isn't it kind of weird that some ancient alien race has invented a device that turns people into orange rock monsters? Not brown rock monsters or red rock monsters or teal rock monsters, but orange rock monsters. It's such a specific thing. It's like a massive coincidence this story does not address, but it should. Ben starts to think that maybe this device can turn him into a human again. Oh, so now he wants to be a human again. I guess being a rock monster is cool when your girlfriend is a rock monster, but when you're single and ready to mingle, being a rock monster isn't so great. Is he single? Where the hell has Alicia been anyway? Has she been kidnapped again? Huh. Suddenly, they come across the bad guy Miko and his rock monster pals. They're guarding the apparatus, as well they should, because Miko wants to use the device to create a bunch of other rock monsters and have a rock monster army so he can, guess what, take over the Earth? Nope. Surprisingly, he's not that ambitious. He wants to rent out his rock monster army and make money. I like a bad guy with realistic expectations. Well, for now, Ben, as you can imagine, it's clobbering time. He starts fighting just about all the rock monsters, including Lijah and Kristoff, who have entered the temple. Sue must still be outside, getting pounded by Namor. But not in the way he would like to be pounding her. Back in New York, Johnny is looking for Cassie. No, wait. It's Scott who's looking for Cassie. Johnny and Scott looked so much alike. They're both blonde. Do they really need to have the same exact hairstyle, too? He says they have tickets to see Pocahontas, and they don't want to be late. And guess who runs into the room? Why, it's Boris, obviously. I think he wants that ticket. He pulls out a laser gun. He tries to shoot Scott. So obviously, he wants both tickets. That leaves Scott wondering, what the hell happened to his daughter, Cassie? Back in Brazil, Ben Grimm is getting thoroughly knocked around by the five other rock monsters. And outside, Sue is about to hit the Submariner with a tree after she hits him with some insults, calling him a half-breed, and saying that she can't believe he ever thought he was man enough for her. But before she can swing that tree, she turns back into herself and says they gotta go back inside and help Ben. Of course, you gotta figure, if Sue's rock monsterness just wore off, the other rock monsters gotta be turning back into humans again soon too, and that's exactly what happens inside the temple. So Miko pulls out a gun and orders everyone back over toward the rock monster machine. But they all run into an invisible wall. And Namor and Sue enter the room. Subby grabs the gun from Miko's hand as Sue rushes over to check on Ben, who's had those shit royally beat out of him. He's critically injured. The professor says there is one way to save Ben's life. To put him under that rock monster machine and see what happens. Sue agrees, and she wonders if that's the right decision to make. What will that machine do? Turn him into a even rockier rock monster, like in the late 80s? Turn him back into a human? Will it kill him? Or something, less exciting? Probably something less exciting. To be continued. Coming next time, the final fate of the Thing, or so they say. Plus, Boris finally reveals his true identity. I'm sure we'll all be oh so surprised. And that's all for now. Please, if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.